Hebrews 10:35, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Yes, amen. Go to Hebrews chapter number 6. You're there in Hebrews. Back up a few pages. Chapter 6, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 12. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
That was quick. Good. They that you be not slothful, that means, you know, lazy, but followers, King James says followers, it's imitators in the Hebrew, or Greek, excuse me, the imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Faith and patience inherit the promises.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do a fun study on faith sometimes, study on faith and. What faith is connected to. There's a lot of things faith is connected to.
Yeah.
And you have to understand all those ands to really succeed in faith.
Yeah. Right.
Here's one that the Bible mentions, faith and patience. Now we read that, and you know, without really knowing what the original language says, how many of you know it's when the Bible was written in one language and then they translated it into another language, actually whenever they translated it, it might have been accurate, but the meaning of words change.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, just go call somebody fat, and because your grandma used to do that, your great grandma. I remember walking in. We were kids. I was a kid. Walking in to see my great grandma one day. We were talking. My mom and dad were talking to my great grandma, and then she looked at us kids and said, "Boy, you kids sure are looking fat." That used to mean health. That used to mean healthy.
Yeah.
You know, vibrant, radiant, good countenance. You've been eating good. You know, but it doesn't mean that anymore. Amen. Words change.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so patience, maybe when they translated it, maybe it meant the right thing. But today, patience doesn't mean to sit around passively waiting for something to happen or for God to move.
Yeah.
You know, patience. You tell your children, be patient. You know, they're hungry. Be patient. Mama's cooking. It's almost ready. Right?
Right.
That means sit passively by and wait. But the word patience, has the Greek word that was translated patience has changed. Not the Greek word, but the word patience. Really, the Greek means persistence.
Yes.
Persistence.
Right.
Endurance.
Yes.
Steadfastness. Let's say it this way. The state of being constant.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Amen.
That's good. Amen. That means never changing.
That's
yes.
Right.
Faith and persistence inherits the promises. Faith and not changing. Remember the Bible says, let a man ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth. If you look up the word waver, it means to differ. In other words, at one time he's believing one thing and now he's believing something different. One time you believe God heard you, another time you don't believe God heard you. We've all let faith projects go at times. You know, if you let one go, you can pick it back up. But the fact that it says faith and patience, through faith and patience we inherit the promises, that implies, the word patience being added to that, implies that you might not see everything the moment you prayed. That doesn't mean God didn't hear you. That the answer, if you were asking according to his will, he hears you. And if you know he hears you, you know you have. The petition that you desired of him, but you might not see it right away. We walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus cursed the fig tree and they couldn't see anything for 24 hours, but it said it dried up from the roots. Something started happening immediately, but you couldn't see it for a while. That's where people get tripped up. They walk by sight and cast away their confidence, or they don't persevere. And that's what he said not to do. Amen. But what he's saying here is one major companion force of faith is persistence.
Amen.
Or endurance. Amen. Some of the greatest things in your life are going to be the result of really just not quitting.
Amen.
Just don't quit. Just don't quit.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't understand. It just seems like it's not working out. Just don't quit.
Amen.
And we're going to say some things about that because people could persist in stubbornness.
Uh-huh.
you know, or persist in unteachableness.
Right.
And that's not what he's talking about. We'll get into that a little bit. We'll see how we get directed here tonight. But I'm talking about just not quitting in the sense of I'm walking in all the light that I have, and that I'm endeavoring to walk in that light the best I know how. Excuse me. And if there's anything I don't know, Lord will show me.
Yes.
Isn't that the way you need to be?
Yes.
There's a process sometimes that has to work out while we're walking in the light we have, that the Bible says, you know, there, John 15 talks about abide in the vine and so forth and so on. And then he talks about you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And any man that, you know, is a vineyard, a vine dresser, he's going to have to chop off branches sometimes.
Yeah.
And clean up that, I've had to do it with apple trees on my land and stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, the bushes, they get a little bit, maybe you're landscaping, you know, hard winter or something, maybe a little part of it will die and you got to trim that out.
Yeah.
Right? And we understand that. But yet, right on the other hand, that's a process that has to happen to get from where you are in bearing fruit to have more fruit. You're bearing more fruit. I'm going from one degree of fruit bearing to another degree of fruit bearing. I'm going from first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. I'm going from 30 to 60 to 100 fold.
Yes.
I'm good. I'm going from the good to the acceptable to the perfect.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
That it's a process. And while we're in the process of walking in all the light we have, God will give us more light, and we don't stubbornly persist in our darkness. We come on into the light. And the more light we come into, the more fruit we'll bear.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes it's a washing process through the washing of the water of the word to get our thinking cleaned up and our believing cleaned up. But you understand what I'm talking about. But in that sense, some of the greatest things you'll walk in will be as a result of just not quitting. Just not quitting. I really can't think of anything that Pastor Debbie and I are walking in today that came instant. I believe God heard us instantly. I believe we received.
Yes.
But the devil kept saying, no, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. We had to stand.
Yes. Yes.
And having done all to stand, keep standing.
Yes.
And the devil is so sorry in his desire to hinder us and oppose us that he can't see that every single time he's opposed us real big, we ended up taking more ground than we started out to take. And I really don't feel sorry for him.
Yes, sir.
But that's been his plight. That's been his lot in our lives. Okay, you're going to fuss with us. We'll just take more. You're going to, yeah, amen. You're going to lie to us and tell us we can't. Well, this is a great opportunity to develop my faith. And we'll grow in faith and actually end up with more than we started out to get. We've done it over and over and over again. I've told you some of those stories. I would say poor devil, but I'm not even feeling sorry for him. So, you know, that's just a characteristic you've got to develop in life. I see so many people, if they just wouldn't have quit. What did God say? Well, you know, I believed that for a while, but I don't believe that anymore. Well, you quit. That's what happened. You quit. And so we got to learn not to do that. Now notice, cast right back here to Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I like rewards. Somebody said, what's the reward? Well, it's something better than you're experiencing right now. That's the reward. Amen. So patience, it's a companion force of faith. Say that out loud. It's a companion force of faith. Amen. All those who really have a spirit of faith, they have a tenacity to their faith that just won't quit. You know, brother, Dr. Dufresne used to say, faith doesn't have any quitting sense. And that's the way real faith is. Real faith doesn't ever quit. Doesn't ever say, well, that's over, it's too late. I mean, people even came to Jesus and said, that's over, it's too late. You know, don't trouble the master anymore, your daughter's dead. And Jesus said, he said, fear not, believe only. It looked way past possible.
Yeah, come on.
Believe only.
Amen. Praise God. If quitting's just not in faith's DNA. It just doesn't know anything about it. Amen. So when it says patience, it doesn't mean just sit passively by and wait for God to do something. It means persistence. Constance under pressure or opposition. Isn't that right? It means whether test trials or sight, anything in the sight realm that's contrary to what you're believing, mental attacks against your mind will come, or any other kinds of pressure from the enemy. You remember Psalm 112 said, "My heart is fixed." Remember that verse? Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed." Trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. His heart is fixed. Let me make sure I'm not quoting exactly right here. It says, maybe I don't even have it printed out here. It says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." Yeah. Notice that. Your heart is fixed. Your heart is established. Yeah. What does that include? It means not being moved. Notice he said, not being moved. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He'll not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies." In other words, he's not moved. It's established in what he believes. God will honor quick stands. Somebody hears the word and takes a step on it, steps out on it, he'll honor it.
Amen.
And that'll, because God honors his word. Yeah. But those people sometimes don't know how to stand.
Right.
If something tries to come back.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Sometimes they don't remember. Remember Peter, he walked out on the water just on come. Yeah. Jesus spoke the word come, he stepped out, but he didn't endure.
He didn't endure.
No. Oh, thou of little faith, you remember?
Yeah.
Little doesn't mean puny, little means short. You look it up. He was short in faith. He didn't endure. He didn't persevere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen. This sermon might not be real fancy tonight, but I'll tell you, it'll get you through the rough spots. Get you through the rough spots. You got to learn to just let the devil breathe the hot breath of unbelief down your neck and keep on believing God. You just got to learn to never quit. I'm not changing. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not wavering. I'm not going to throw in, cast away my confidence. I'm not going to just throw something away because it has great recompense of reward. If you knew the payoff for staying with it. And how rewarding it'll be that you didn't quit. You would never cast away your confidence. You'd never give up on what God told you to do, where God told you to be, or what his promises are to you.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Amen. Amen. Your faith, think about that, the faith and patience. What does that imply? It implies your faith and patience means persistence. It implies something is going to oppose your faith. Your faith will be tried. The Bible talks about the trying of your faith, both in James and 1 Peter. Talks about the trying of your faith. It's going to be tried. A lot of things are not personal. Satan's not personally after you, per se. He's after your faith. He's going to try to strip it from you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get you walking by sight. He's going to bring people along to tell you that's not going to work. You'll turn on the news or something like that, and everybody's talking about something opposite of what you're believing. You just have to recognize what God said and stay with it. That's a good quality. In fact, you ought to, if I had the time tonight, I'd go through some verses and show you what a big deal patience, that means perseverance, is to God. The Bible says it's the mark of a true apostle or any minister. It's a mark of a true Christian. It is the Jesus commended it in the book of Revelation to several churches. He commended them for their patience in tribulation. In other words, God puts gold stars on people. That's special to him.
Praise God.
Amen. And we could go on and on. It's very, very, very highly prized. The Bible will sometimes list some godly qualities, and patience will be right in there in the middle of it. Perseverance. Amen. Now, it's in the Bible. It's in the middle of some pretty tall cotton. You know what I mean? It's a big deal to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So your faith is going to be tried. The enemy's going to see to it. Get used to it. Don't think something strange. Remember the Bible said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial." I mean, you just say something in a crowd of too many people that stand up for righteousness in our nation today, and you're going to get some persecution.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That doesn't mean you're wrong.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I must have done something wrong. That's par for the course.
Thank you.
Don't think it's strange.
Yep. Come on.
The Bible said all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Yes, we do.
If you haven't been suffering any, you might not be living godly.
Come on now.
Well, I don't believe in persecution. Well, the Bible... I don't want to make a bad confession. You don't have to. It'll come. It'll come. Somebody's not going to like what you believe. Amen. Well, anyway, tell your neighbor, I'm still glad I came tonight. If you knew the value of what you got a hold of in the Word of God, you would not cast it away so readily. Amen. You got to fight tooth and nail to keep your faith. Now, ask yourself, and you can say we're applying this to our rights and privileges in Christ, our redemptive rights, and that would be one way to apply this. But let me just ask you a question. What did God say to you about how you would participate in this end time harvest? Amen. Did he show you any particular kind of ministry? Some are called to the ministry, you know, that you would have. Did he put it in your heart that you would be a part of getting the songs of the Spirit that belong to this era? Are you with me tonight? Did he deal with you that you would have a business that would fund this last time revival? Has God spoken to you about some of these kinds of things? Or some of your rights and privileges in redemption. You understand, healing and so forth and so on, provision and the blessings of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. All these things, you have to stick with it to get into it. Some things that God spoke to me 20, 25 years ago, we walk in at some, but we haven't got into the fullness of it yet.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong, Pastor Jay? Same thing that's wrong with you.
Yeah.
In some cases, nothing.
Right. Yes, sir.
It takes preparation to get into some things. Really, the greatest things in faith that you'll ever experience will take, or that you'll ever walk in, will take a lifetime to walk out. We're not talking about it takes you a lifetime to get healed. I'm not talking about your redemptive rights. I'm talking of the devil will resist you there too. But I'm talking about some of these things where it comes to fulfilling your course and running your race. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give up just because time passes. When you think about perseverance, you think about two things. If he said faith and patience, which he did there in Hebrews 6:12. Faith and patience, then that instantly ought to make you think of two things. Number one, perseverance means I might not step into it like by 10 o'clock tonight.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm going to have to persevere to get into it.
That's right.
Number two, let's put it this way. That means that it's going to be opposed.
Yeah.
What you're standing for is going to be opposed.
Yes,
and don't think you're doing wrong because it's opposed.
Yeah.
Especially in the financial arena. Because that comes through the hands of men who God has to deal with and get them to obey God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And if they don't respond, then he's got to find somebody else.
Yes, sir.
So it's not God delaying. The Bible said he's not slack concerning his promises. He's not slow concerning his. But sometimes it takes men a while to respond. Because, ever notice God doesn't counterfeit $100 bills out of the sky? Or gold, silver, eagles either. Gold or silver eagles. Those are minted by the United States Mint. Those are gold and silver. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you need to get some. I'll turn over here. Hallelujah. But no, he doesn't do that. It's going to come through the hands of men. Well, that gives the devil great opportunity to hinder it.
Amen.
You have to understand what's going on whenever things take a while. It's not God being slack concerning his promises. It's the devil opposing. Well, maybe we need to preach on that. Maybe seems like maybe you're not sure about that. But don't give up just because time passes. So number one, the enemy's going to oppose it. Number two, time might pass before you see it. Now, I didn't say time will pass before God says, okay, yes. I'm saying time might pass before God's able to get it through the hands of men or,
yeah, come on.
You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's not God hindering.
Right.
Paul said there, what is it, 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, we endeavored to come to you, talking to Thessalonians, he said once and again, but Satan hindered us. Yes. That ought to tell you who the hinderer is.
Right.
Yep.
Satan's the hinderer, not God. Amen. But what do you do whenever that hinders is seeking to work against you? You stand. You persevere. Amen. And you're not holding out against him. He's holding out against you. In other words, he's trying to keep you from seeing it so that you'll get discouraged and give up. You need to outlast him.
Amen.
Just outlasting.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And outlasting with joy. In other words, some people, they're enduring and they got a frown on their face and they're discouraged and they're heavy. And how you doing? Oh, such a battle, such a battle. No, that ain't joy.
Thank you. Come on.
Amen. Go read James 1 again. Count it all joy when you fall into dust. Then he goes, the trying of your faith worketh patience, just two verses later. Or one verse later. All right, so don't give up just because time has passed. Amen. Don't ask how, when, through whom. You're trying to answer all the wrong questions and Satan's holding you in the mental realm. You have one question to answer. What did God say? Just stay with that. What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? Amen. Sometimes there's a stretch of water you got to walk on.
Yes.
And some wind and waves that you've got to ignore before you get to your miracle.
Yes.
You have to understand that. Hallelujah. But if you think right about it, that you'll do all this that I'm talking about with joy. What do you mean, think right about it? I mean, know, like James 1 says, count all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse tests and trials, knowing this.
Yeah.
Knowing this.
Yeah.
Knowing this. You think right because you know something.
Yeah, that's good.
You think right because you know something.
Yeah.
And we'll get in a little more of that if we can get to the time here tonight. Tell your neighbor that right thinking is very important. Depression is just wrong thinking. When people are, I'm enduring, I'm a Christian, and it's hard, and I'm enduring. Yeah, you're enduring in ignorance.
Come on.
Count it all joy. Praise be to God. Well, what do you mean, think right? How about knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that means perseverance, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So this test, whatever Satan's opposing me in, it's giving me the opportunity to develop in skill, develop in faith, and in perseverance, learning how to do that, to better conduct the power of God, and then that'll bring forth the perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Ha, ha, ha. Perfect means mature. Spiritually. This is a good way to grow up.
Yes.
Well, I've been feeding on the word. I'm growing up. That ain't enough to grow up. You got to feed on the word and then go practice it.
Yes.
And having done all to stand, stand.
Yes. Come on.
Now you're growing up.
Come on.
It'll put you out there in the middle of the fire. The tests and trials. It'll put you right in the middle of a bunch of tests and trials. But that's a wonderful opportunity to get all the dross burned out of your faith.
Yes.
Get a lot of unbelief out. I learn more by just stepping out in faith than I do reading my Bible almost sometimes. I don't mean it's not all in line with the Bible. I mean God will say, now, this is in line. Here's how you do this, what's written in the Bible right there. I'm like, oh, now I understand what that means back there. Some people don't learn because they don't step out. They just sit back in the boat. They don't ever get out on the water. They don't ever have to resist any unbelief. They don't ever take any steps of obedience, so they never learn anything. So they stay in kindergarten. I don't want a church full of thumb suckers. Amen. Or blanky or binky, you know, Christians. I want people that are stalwart. Maybe take some faith projects off of us, maybe. That'd be a good thought.
Amen.
Ooh, glory to God. I'm getting a little feisty tonight. Plus, you'll come to a place of maturity.
Yes.
And then on top of that, wanting nothing.
Yes.
That means you got it all that you're believing for.
Yes.
Whew, glory be to God.
Yes.
Have you got all that you're believing for? Then you're not done yet. Notice that real faith, when he said, let faith, count all joy, knowing this, trying your faith, work with patience, let patience have its perfect work. The word perfect there means full expression. So let patience be fully expressed. In other words, perseverance, let it be fully expressed. God needs to see full expression of perseverance. Amen. So as a result of full expression, you'll have full manifestation.
Amen.
Wanting nothing means you got it all.
Yeah.
That's the full manifestation or full potential of your faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's what it means to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Yeah.
Praise God. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you really understand faith, you'll almost say the devil's doing me a favor, giving me an opportunity to learn to walk by faith. No. You need to make it work for you. Make things work for you. And make the devil wish he had never done what he tried to do to you. You know the devil's still kicking himself for making Brother Hagin sick. That's how you need to make the devil eat stuff.
Yes.
Just make him wish I had never done it. I wish I had never done it. The Bible said he wishes he had never crucified Jesus. If he had known, he'd have never crucified him. He didn't know. See, the devil's not a know-all. He doesn't know everything. The reason he runs the risk, when he attacks Christians, he runs the risk of them, he runs the risk of that backfiring on him. But it seems like he's willing to do it. I think it's because it works so often. Let's make Spirit of Faith Family Church a place where he just wishes he never had done it. He just wished. I tried everything I could to keep them from getting a hold of the word and practicing it, and now I'm just messed up because of it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 4:1 in the Darby translation, Psalm 4:1. In pressure, this is talking about David's talking to God. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. No wonder you can count it all joy. Oh, you didn't get that. You sound like you're just kind of desiring tests and trials. I don't have to. They just come. I'm just glad for the opportunity to believe God. See, most people don't think that way because they don't value a robust faith. They value comfort in the flesh. I don't value comfort in the flesh. I value the plan and I value a robust faith.
Yes.
Because the better my faith is working, the better, more victory I can walk in.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So Darby says, in pressure, this is Psalm 4:1, in pressure thou hast enlarged me. So that lets you know what you can have when the devil comes against you in the spirit realm. Oh, the devil just gave me an opportunity for enlargement. Now I can feel that in the congregation. People are like, I'm not saying invite it. I'm just simply saying, oh, glory to God, here's another opportunity to believe God. Another opportunity to believe God. Amen. That's right thinking.
Amen.
I'm not a, what's that word people enjoy pain? Narcissist? What's it called? Mass something. Some stupidness. We don't enjoy pain.
No.
We don't get any joy out of the suffering.
Right.
Our joy is in seeing the victory and walking by faith. We get our joy from walking by faith. Amen. I just thought I'd clear that up. Hallelujah. So when the devil turns the pressure of unbelief up and so forth and so on, you can actually take ground. David overcame Goliath and gained territory for Israel. Well, I don't want any Goliaths. I want just great testimonies, but I don't want any Goliaths. Great testimonies come out of great battles. Now, I don't mean fighting the devil kind of battle. I mean having done all to stand, and you just won't quit standing. Standing in what you know you already got. Standing in the victory Jesus already won for you. Hallelujah. That's what that means there in Psalm 4:1, Darby translation, in pressure thou hast enlarged me. That was an opportunity for enlargement. If you read David's story, he got to be tax-free for the rest of his life in Israel. He got to marry the king's daughter. I think there was another thing in there. That was an enlargement. So he saw Goliath and he didn't see a giant. He saw a tax write-off. Here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If the devil had known that, he'd have never come against him. And if he'd have known what you were going to do, he'd never come against you. But he'll poke at you and just see what you're going to do. You need to make him run with his tail between his legs, wishing he had never done it. Make him eat it. You know what I'm talking about? That's the spirit of faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bible says 2 Corinthians 4:17 that you can make these things work for you. They work for us a far more exceeding and eternal glory. The more tests and trials, they work an exceeding weight of glory. Praise be to God. You get an opportunity to develop yourself. It's like a muscle, you know. You develop a muscle by pushing weight away. Well, you develop in faith, not just by feeding it. Is there anybody in here that can get strong just by eating like a horse or a pig? Or no, you got to exercise. In fact, you actually can sit around and get weaker. You got to exercise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you do the right thing in the middle of the opposition, somebody needs to hear this tonight.
Yes, sir.
You can turn the worst of times into the best of times.
Yes.
Amen.
Just turn it into some of the best of times. Amen. So really, think of it this way. Every time I express my faith, then I'm enlarging myself. Think of it that way. Every time I express my faith, I'm enlarging myself. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, I don't want any opposition. I don't want any pressure in life. I don't want to have to reach and press for the prize. Well, then you're going to go nowhere in life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So use the opposition and pressure of the enemy to get greater revelation and propel your faith forward. If it's going to press you into anything, let it press you into the Word.
Yes.
And being more of a doer of the Word.
Yes.
In the middle of the opposition. Pastor, I don't like this kind of preaching. Then you might not be the real deal then. You might be fake. I don't mean to get mean about it. I'm just saying, real Christians, they will press into God in these situations. Now, the devil is going to count on people not pressing into God, but yielding to his pressure and disobeying God, not believing God, you know, whatever. He's going to count on that. That works on a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're a different kind of Christian. You're a different breed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Seven people said yes. Anybody in the middle? You're a different breed. You're a different kind.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Jude 1:3, Jude wrote to them and said, I wrote to you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Is that 1:3, I believe, or is it verse 6? Verse 3. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Notice he didn't say casually.
Nope.
He said earnestly.
Earnestly
really means you're eager about it and you're determined. Earnest is determined to hold on to your faith. Determined to have what God said. It's not going to be any other way in my life. If other people don't want it, I'm going for what God has for me. Praise God. There are things out there that are trying to deny you of your faith. That's why he said you got to earnestly contend for it. You know, cares of life, distractions, circumstances, hopelessness, discouragement, doubt, fear, all kinds of things are trying to strip your faith away from you. Just keep stripping it away from you. You just got to hold fast. Remember that? Hold fast to the confession of your faith, Bible says. That means don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Isn't that right? So, Luke says in Luke 8, is Luke's account of the parable of the sower. He says there, talks about, I'll read verse 13 and verse 15. Remember there are four kinds of ground. This verse 13 here is the stony ground. It says, they on the rock, other translations say stony ground, are they, verse 13 here, Luke 8, 13, are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. Oh, they got excited about it.
Yes, they did, for a moment.
And these have no root, which for a while believe. Underline for a while. In other words, they excited for a while. They believed it for a while. And in time of temptation, that means pressure, opposition, persecution, test, trials, all kinds of things like that. They fall away. And then he talks about the good ground, verse 15. These are on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. Now what's that?
With patience.
Let's interpret that with what? In perseverance. With perseverance. Now, you remember, now this is the good ground. And here he said they bring forth fruit with patience. But if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account. No, this is Luke's account. Matthew, Mark, and John's account. I think John records it. I forget. Maybe not John. But whatever. You'll read the other accounts, and it says they bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You remember that? The good ground? But here, he didn't talk about the 30, 60, 100-fold, although Jesus said it. But Luke didn't record that. He just said bring forth fruit with patience. So what does that tell us? To get, notice, 30, 60, 100-fold. People want to put actual calculations on that. Actually, I've done a lot of studying on that to make sure I understand it, and I don't have time to get into it right now, but it is actually an infinite number in these cases. He's not talking about actual calculations of 30, 60, 100 fold. He's actually talking about partial, more, and the full potential. That's really what he's talking about. I'll maybe get into that sometime. We probably ought to do some teaching on that. I don't have time here right here tonight. But really, when he says 100-fold, he's saying everything that's available to you. And to be honest, you think about it, 100-fold is in nature not even across the board. 100-fold of a potato, when you plant potatoes, you don't get 100 potatoes. But you get the, you can get, if you have good ground, proper sunlight, proper water, keep the weeds off of it, bugs off of it, you can get the full potential of that potato. I don't know what a full potential is. Maybe even up to 20. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what, but that's not even 100-fold. But that's the full potential. What about an apple tree? It's mature. It might give you 150 apples. You plant one kernel of corn. They planted corn here a few weeks, last week. They'll plant one kernel of corn, and some of them will go out there, and they'll get 600, 700, 800, 900 kernels off of that one. That's not 100-fold. I mean, in the sense people think of 100-fold. That's much more than that. So it's not always the same. You have a sheep. You put two sheep together. They have a sheep. They might have one or two. I don't know. I guess sometimes maybe three. That's 100-fold. Does that make sense? So it's not a number, it's the full potential in that situation.
I see that. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yep.
So when he says 30, 60, 100 fold, he's talking about the full, the 100 fold would be the full potential. 30 fold is not the full potential, but it sure beats nothing, doesn't it? But think about it. Here, he didn't say anything about 30, 60, 100. He said, you bring forth fruit with patience. Here, he told you how to get to the next level. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just stay with it.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
So patience is in this context, is continuing to rejoice. Notice back there, verse 13, he said, receive the word with joy and believed it, but only for a while. So patience in this context is continue to rejoice in what you believe, but not just for a while. You just stay with it. I'm getting better results today than I did when I was 30. I got better results when I was 40 than I did when I was 30. Certainly got better results at 30 than I was when I was 20. I wasn't getting much of anything when I was 20. I'm talking about the fruit off the word. What's the potential of this word in my life? Hallelujah. Glory. But I've been staying with it. If other people want to preach another message, I'm just staying with it. Amen. Glory to God. When you stay with it, you do it with joy. He said, count it all joy when you encounter these destined trials. He didn't say, just stand in faith. He said, count it all joy while you're standing. And here he mentioned joy. With joy, they received it and believed a while. Well, how about if you just continued that joy and that believing? Continued believing and rejoicing. Amen. Praise God. This is a matter of right thinking. I'm talking about the joy part now. Some people are standing, but they're all heavy and heavy laden. Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest, not a heavy burden. Amen. So, Luke 1, verse number 41 and 44. I'll give you this passage here. You getting anything out of this? My goodness, where'd the time go? I don't know either. Luke 1. Let's look at Luke 1, verses 41 and 44. Both of these verses say something that's important here. This is when Mary came to greet Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. I think, what is she, 6 months along, if I remember right? And Mary's pregnant with Jesus. It says, you know, of course, Mary came and saluted or greeted, you might say, Elizabeth in verse 40. It came to pass, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice, he leaped. Look at verse 44. So lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb. Why? Did he have a hiccup, or what happened there? No. He leaped for joy. John the Baptist is in there. His purpose is to go before the Messiah and prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he came close within the proximity of the one he was to prepare the way for. And inside mother's womb, he went, whoa. For joy. Hallelujah. Well, you remember both Mary, not in the same way, Jesus was conceived without a man, but I'm talking about Mary and Elizabeth both had supernatural births. Jesus without a man, but I'm talking about they weren't able to have, Elizabeth and her husband weren't able to have children. So that was a supernatural birth, but it was through a man. You understand I'm talking about, there was a difference, but there was a supernatural element in both cases. Think about these babies. Think about the way Jesus was born, for example. Actually, the way John was born, although a man was involved in John's case. I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. But both of them got a word from God. Mary, the seed became, the word became flesh without a man. And Jesus was conceived. Elizabeth, and of course her husband, doubted. But Elizabeth believed it and received, although a man was involved. But it was still the word of God that promised it. A word from God. So you can read that story back there in Luke 1. But the point is, when God speaks a word, like when God spoke to Mary, that word went into her spirit and she received it before it went into her womb and she conceived it. Amen. And in that sense, we can all become pregnant with something God says to us. You understand what I'm talking about? Mary received a message from an angel about the Savior's birth. But she received it in her spirit before she received it in her womb, in the flesh, in other words. Amen. So we should all receive what God says to us into our spirits and then stand fast, hold fast the confession of our faith and stand in faith, taking steps of faith towards that, believing that it'll come to pass, right? And then it'll be manifest in the flesh. Just maybe not a human being, might be somebody believing for a baby, but you know what I mean? Whatever the promise is, we're standing in that and it'll come manifest in the natural realm.
Right. Yes.
But here's what I wanted you to see. Wow, you know, I guess I'll just ask you, is your baby still kicking? What did God say to you? Is it dead in the womb? Or is it still in there kicking with joy? Does it still thrill you? Does it still get full of the Holy Ghost? Are you continuing in what God said to you? Woo, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You got to keep it alive and vibrant. You got to keep it really thrilled. You got to stay thrilled about what God said. If you're not thrilled about it, you're not really probably in faith. I don't mean you have to be dancing 24 hours a day. I don't mean you have to be shouting on 24 hours a day. But you just get quiet and start thinking about it. You go, oh, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So are you glad you came tonight? God always responds to faith instantly. So don't misunderstand what I'm talking about. But sometimes time passes in the process of those things working out. And the answers when it comes to redemptive rites are always yes, amen. In other words, the answer is yes, amen means so be it. However, some of these things take time to work out into the natural realm.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense? I'm almost done here. Hold with me just a little bit. But in our society and culture today, we want everything like that. When we walk into the house, we want light instantly. Flip the light on. Right? When we want food, we drive through the drive-thru. We want it handed through the window right now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if they got to go cook that hamburger, we don't like that anymore.
No.
I was like, what's wrong with you all in there? I mean, I came here for a hamburger. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, we're used to microwave ovens and instant messaging and everything now.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So for that reason, when people get, when we bring them into spiritual things, they kind of have that mentality about everything. That everything's instantaneous.
Right.
Well, they prayed for me and I didn't see anything, so I'm just going somewhere else where they have it. Well, you didn't even believe you received number one, but number two, there's sure a whole lot of standing and perseverance in that, ain't there? Don't just say amen. We won't know it's anybody here. God always responds instantly, but it doesn't always manifest in the seen realm instantly. But what are you going to do between amen and there it is? What are you supposed to do between that time? He said, having done all to stand, stand. He said, cast not away your confidence. He said, you through faith and patience, persevere. So that's what you do between that time. You just persevere. I got it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And everything that says you didn't, you just resist it and answer it with the word of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because folks don't understand that. They don't stand. Amen. So the fact is, the Bible says we're to exercise ourselves in faith and patience and perseverance. That implies that a period of time might pass. People don't like that, but it's not God hindering them. You have to stand against what the enemy's trying to do. Amen. Praise God. There's one thing that I will say here. Sometimes the hindrance is not so much the enemy, but just some our faith is not conducting the power of God very well. That's what John 15 is all about. Cleaning through the washing of the water of the word to get rid of dead wood that's not going to produce any fruit. Or you could apply it to, you know, you could use the illustration of electricity. Actually, they didn't know about electricity back there in the Bible. But Peter did say, the trying of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perishes. But when it's tried by fire, you know, it'll be more pure, in other words. Fire purifies gold. And they say gold's one of the best conductors of electricity. So basically, he's saying you'll conduct the power of God, although he didn't know about electricity back then, but you'll conduct the power of God like gold will conduct electricity.
Yeah.
Better if you get the dross out of here.
Yeah.
If you got a gold, if you got a big hard rock, it's got some gold in it, but it's got also a lot of, you know, whatever kind of rock it's in.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That's not going to conduct much electricity.
No.
But if you refine that down,
yes.
Yes.
down to 0.9999.
Yeah.
Not to 0.999. There's better. 0.9999.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when you persevere and you step out and you walk in the light you have, and then you go to church and God says, okay, see here, hear what the word says here? Okay, you got to make this adjustment. You go, oh yeah. And so the word washed that out of you. Now you're conducting better power.
Amen.
You're conducting more power.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. So it's not just persevere with your head down, stubbornly resisting any learning that you need to do. Does that make any sense? Amen. The quality of teachableness is to accompany your perseverance.
That's good.
Do you get that?
Yes, sir.
The quality of teachableness. That's one of the, well, the Bible word for it is meekness. If you look up the word meekness, it's very close to the word humility. And it has to do with being able to hear what God's saying. And his dealings, and accept his dealings without disputing or resistance. That means teachable. That means when God deals with you, you don't go, well, bless God, I don't know. Amen. You say, be it unto me. Amen. Truth, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So if you take your stand walking in the light that you have, the Lord will begin to walk you through things that you need to make adjustments in towards your victory. If you stick with him and just keep on making those adjustments, keep making those changes, those things will cleanse your mind and your faith and make it more and more a conductor of God's power so that it can bring that what you're believing for to pass. Can I just share one little piece here yet? Matthew 5:5. A verse we miss sometimes.
Yeah.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is someone who inherits, it means they obtain something by inheritance.
Yes.
Right.
Do you have an inheritance?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
Don't you want to obtain what is your inheritance?
That's right.
Yes.
So blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. We're called to inherit, right?
That's good.
But notice meekness is involved.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Meekness means being able to hear what God's saying and being teachable. There's a whole lot more to it we can get into tonight, but that's good enough for understanding so far. And so meekness towards God is the disposition where we listen to what God's saying and we make the adjustments. And he said those are the people that inherit. Whew, that makes me interested in meekness, doesn't it? It interests you? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And also, while you're taking these, or while you're walking in the light you have, take all the steps that the Spirit of God tells you to take.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people, despondency and discouragement sets in, and they end up casting away their confidence. God speaks to them about steps to take, and they don't do anything with them. Never, you know, most people would like everything to just be one step, and there it is. Abraham's our example of the father of faith, and the Bible says in Romans 4:12, we walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Amen.
Amen.
A step, taking steps means more than one.
Yes. Right.
So there might be more than one step into what you're believing God for.
Yeah.
But what if you take the first step and he deals with you something else and you don't take any more steps?
All right, come on.
You're not persevering.
All right.
You might be standing there thinking, I'm persevering. No, you're not. You stop persevering now. Persevere means continue to take every step. Oh, that helps me. How about you?
Praise God.
Praise God. You, whatever those steps are, you got to work that out between you and God.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise.
So that's the way many things in God end up working. If people are not willing to take steps, they'll never cross the finish line. A lot of people would like to take one great big step.
Yes.
Well, I'd be willing to take one. I'd go to Africa for God. Well, if you won't even tithe. Why does God think? Why does God think you could have the faith to go to Africa? He's proving you in smaller steps. You ever heard of a step ladder? Does anybody set up a step ladder? They're going to get up there and change that light bulb. They just step back and say, "Watch out, everybody!" And they run and jump and land on the front step, on the top step. No, call the ambulance. And that's what we ought to do for people that say they're taking a big step of faith. Call the faith ambulance. Because you can't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. Well, how do I get up there? Take a step, another step, another step, another step, another step. And you can get there pretty quickly, can't you? Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet with me. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Many people want to take one big step, but a lot of things don't happen that way. Abraham had to leave his father's house, go into a country which God was going to show him. He saw it, and God, and he believed it. And then he said, "I'm going to give you a son." And then he said, he just kept on talking to him, and he kept on taking steps. That's the way walking with God is. It's a series of steps. Walking, say walking. How do you walk? You take steps. Take steps. What's the next step? Do you know what the next step is? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Some of you have watched Pastor Debbie and I take steps towards certain things. Well, I used to want everything just instant. And I had to realize that doesn't work that way. You got to take steps, take steps.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Are you willing to take steps? You can either take steps. Well, that takes time. Yeah. But see, today lights are burning, and time's going to pass whether you're taking steps or whether you're staying where you are.
Right, that's good.
So 3 years from now, what would you rather be? Where you are? Or having taken some steps? Glory to God. But people don't like the methodicalness of that. They like big, exciting. You know, they'll show up to a big, exciting something. But being faithful day in, day out to go to church and day in, day out to get the word in them, day in, day out to seek God in prayer and find out what the next step is. Nah, I don't want that. They just want some big explosion. And all of a sudden, because of the explosion, they're a fully mature adult spiritually and standing in the full plan of God, walking in all the blessings of God.
Come on.
That doesn't work that way. No, nobody gets there that way. Spiritual growth is a lot like natural growth. You're born a baby and you just keep growing up. Just keep growing up. Just keep growing up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. There are times where things get exciting and progress is made fast and so forth and so on. But Christian living is a lot like, and it's a lot like the old grandma's old grandfather clock. I guess grandma's got the grandfather clock, huh? But you remember, I mean, for 15, depending on how she set it up, my mom had one set it up on half hour and then the hour. I mean, on the half hour going dong, and it wouldn't do much more than that. But it hit the hour, if it's 2 o'clock, dong, 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 right? What do you mean that's what a Christian life is like? Well, there are periods of time where there's just not much happening. Progress is being made. Just tick, tick, tick. Then there comes exciting times. Gong, 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 gong. Sometimes 12 times. Woo, woo, wow, wow, wow. Woo, it's going to be this way the rest of our life. Then it stops. Tick,
tick,
tick. We just came out of a conference. Gong, 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 gong.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, tick.
Tick.
Tick. Well, that's not exciting enough. I'm going to another conference. You're a spiritual baby. That's what you are. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Just stick with it. Tell your neighbor, just don't quit. Just don't quit. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Sometimes people say, how'd you get where you are? I just didn't quit. That's how I got where I am. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. It's the old tortoise and the hare parable. Some people are all excited, and they look, they're right running past all of us. And then, you know, a year later, here they come again, running past all of us. It's like, wait a minute, I thought you were up ahead of me. And I, well, see, we were plodding, and they were spurts of excitement. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then they got out from the things of God for a whole year.
Yeah, come on.
Hallelujah.